welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode...
Oh, that's so funny.
I just was looking at our show notes, and if you go all the way to the top, there's apparently some randomly typed letters into our show notes.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Yeah, this is episode 19. We are the most professional podcast on the internet. There is no other podcast that has a more laser-like focus on pop culture and media than we do. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm here joined every week with my co-host,
Tyler. I think it's because you were cleaning your keyboard a second ago.
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
I was. That is absolutely what happened. It's just funny because it's my Google Docs scrolled to the top.
Yeah,
because
it like auto does, well, for me, it auto does all the like titles, and it's in the title. You like redid the title on it. So it's like K, like comma, KM, KM, KKKKKM, KM, KM, comma.
Okay. So, okay. We do have actual stuff to talk about this week, one particular thing. But before we get to that, I have to ask, Tyler, what were you like in eighth grade?
That's the, okay, eighth grade, so eighth grade is the one right before high school, right? So,
Yes, typically.
Yeah, typically. I'm trying to think of what because I remember a lot of high school, but eighth grade, geez. I don't really remember, to be honest. This is bad. I just don't really... I remember high school, but for some reason, I don't remember... I kind of remember... The problem is, I remember fifth grade. I don't know why, but I remember fifth grade, but eighth grade, I feel like it's a blur. I don't really remember, like, going to high school for the first time, really, even. So I don't even remember a time before that. I know this is a lame answer, but I really don't remember eighth grade at all. Like, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I could tell you what I was like freshman, sophomore, junior, but I have no idea for eighth grade. I just can't think of anything. I remember fifth grade because I remember that was the first like middle school for me. And that was kind of scary because I just remember it was a new school too. So I was just like, this is all different. And I also like, I think it was the first time I like really had like homework all the time. And then also... just the classes were kind of harder, but I, for some reason, I don't know why I don't remember eighth grade. I don't even remember seventh grade or sixth. Like, I mean, it was all in that same school. I'm trying my best here, but I just don't remember anything. Well, I don't know. Like, I just don't school. I didn't really like school that much, so I just don't. And I mostly, anything exciting that I did was not at school, so I just don't really tend to remember anything about school.
Well, I guess we're kind of shit out of luck here because you are younger than I am and you have a better memory than I do. So the idea of like me remembering what I was like in eighth grade is probably a little more shot. But I do remember not being awkward so much because I had a lot of friends. But I still got picked on a lot. I still got bullied a bit, mostly because... seventh and eighth grade were like the years when everybody, you know, hit puberty.
Yeah.
And so a lot of girls got very nasty very quickly. And I had a girl bully. I also got into a lot of fights because it's around when my like parents got divorced. So I was like really angry all the time. I definitely was a lot more like violent, I think, when I was in eighth grade. Because I was just picked on all the time. So, like, I remember a guy picked on me and I beat him over the head with a book that I was reading, which was a thing. And I used to, like, cut lunch and, like, sneak up to the second floor girls' bathroom with my friend Karen. And we used to pretend that we would, like, leave the school and go, like, watch movies at the local cinema. But we never did that because you couldn't really sneak out of the school very easily. Or at least we had never figured out a way of doing that. But my middle school experience, and I would hazard a guess that even your middle school experience is very different from the middle school experience of kids now.
Yeah, I think I remember I definitely got a cell phone, but it was not a smartphone.
I know I definitely was like behind everybody who had like even touchscreen phones before they were even smartphones. Remember? I don't know if you remember, but they totally had like phones that were kind of like the iPhone, but not the iPhone, and also just didn't have any like apps or anything. I never had one of those until like way late, and I think it was like 2010 that I actually had like a smartphone. But anyway, so I remember a phone and texting. That was a thing, but I didn't have anybody to text, so I didn't really text that much like other kids did. So, but I never had to deal with like the intro stuff of like, you know, a lot of kids back then when like texting was a thing, like, you know, the schools dealing with phones being a thing, having like, you know, like kids like using it instead of doing
cell
work.
Cell phones were not a domestic home product when I was in middle school.
Yeah. Either. I know, yeah, I know for you. But I'm saying, like, with this movie,
yeah,
like, it's so prominent to the point where it's, like, the teachers don't care anymore. And for me, it was, like, that was the first time teachers had to realize they had to sort of care because kids would just be on their phones texting. But now it's, like, that's everything they do anyway. So it's, I don't know, almost, like, in the movie, it seems to be portrayed as, like, well, they're going to be on them anyway. Just try to use what you, like, get, you know, get the most out of the short attention you're going to get out of them.
I think maybe we should probably mention that we are talking about something specific before.
Yeah.
People do not, maybe not.
You said
know what
movie. I guess you didn't say the name of it. Yeah.
So we are actually going to be talking about something that both of us watched this week, which is Eighth Grade, which is a film that was written and directed by Bo Burnham. For people who don't know, Bo Burnham is a performer and a comedian and now a director who started in, what year did he kind of get going? I know it was a little bit before YouTube started.
Was it before YouTube?
I think it was later into YouTube.
I would say like 2008.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Yeah, because he definitely made a lot of like funny little like songs. Is that mostly what he did? Was like song but they were just funny songs.
Yeah, he started on YouTube when he was 16.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And got popular very quickly and did a lot of like sort of edgy, jokey humor. Like a lot of his songs had to do with like, you know, explicit sex stuff. And
yeah, I think one of them was like,
Helen
My Whole
Keller.
Family Thinks I'm Gay or something like that is one of the songs. Yeah.
And he's definitely matured from that period and has definitely kind of moved into a point in his life. Because he's like 28 now.
Yeah,
he's,
he blew up because he was on talk shows and stuff. Like people were like, I think it was one of the night show host people. I forgot the guy's name, but he like found him on YouTube and then brought him on the show, and then that sort of blew. Like he blew
up.
Yeah,
he was one of the first people to really kind of blow up on YouTube as a personality.
Yeah, because I think it was one of the kind of first people that YouTube even recognized as like, oh, this person's gonna make our site bigger, because they did a lot of things where it's like, we're doing a YouTube party that we're gonna like make videos out of with all these popular YouTube people, and he was always in those. Like they paid for him to do it and stuff.
Because back in the day, YouTube didn't have personalities.
Yeah,
it was literally just a place to upload videos. So the idea of like a content creator in that way was just not a thing yet. And so Bo Burnham has kind of had a really interesting childhood and adulthood. And he's gotten into a point in his career where he's kind of looked back on some of the stuff that he wrote and made and did. And sort of like said, I, you know, feel really bad about a lot of the things that I said back then. And
did he say that with Eighth Grade stuff or before? Like, because I actually haven't seen him
say
this stuff. But okay, I figured so, because
he's progressively gotten,
because he's been doing like comedy shows, right? And like, I think one of them was just like a YouTube partnership. And he also did, he was on Vine a lot. Like he's one of the bigger Vine people too. So
yeah, as he's like, because he got out of like doing YouTube stuff like really specifically and started moving into like doing comedy specials.
Right. And there was like one
special.
Did Netflix do one? No, I think it was just like YouTube ones. I think they're on Netflix.
No, he's Make Funny was, I think, specifically for Netflix.
Was it? Okay. Because I think What or something was for YouTube. It was like on YouTube.
Yeah, What was for YouTube, because you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then Make Funny was for Netflix, and that was like in 2013. And mm-hmm. so he moved from doing like just funny songs into kind of a point in his career where a lot of his songs and performance had this kind of like meta commentary to them about yeah. the nature of being famous and
like creating things and not really being known yeah. as a person, just being known as a personality kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It definitely felt like, to me at least, growing, I grew up with him, but I definitely like saw his stuff when I was really young and then saw his stuff when I got older. And to me, it was just sort of like, oh, this guy, like, he's just been making, like, he started making stuff that, like, was funny, but then he really started thinking about that and kind of wants to do more is what I got from, like, the way mm-hmm. his stuff was written. And so yeah. When I heard that he was writing a movie, it sort of made sense that, like, right, because he also, like, directed it, right?
Yeah, he wrote yeah. it and he also directed it.
Yeah,
and
so it's just, like, I could tell that, like, oh, yeah, he really wants to make stuff that isn't just, like, jokey, funny humor on it.
Or about yeah. himself,
yeah, and too. About himself, yeah.
Like, his work has gotten kind of very, like, self-abnegating over the years, like, and so yeah, Tyler heard about this film and then I heard about it because it started getting like really heavily yeah, advertised.
I forget where
on, like,
I heard
YouTube.
It from. I heard it from some random place. Someone's like, eighth grade is Bo Burnham's like movie and it's really amazing, and I was like, wait, what? His movie's out and also it's really good? Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, it feels like he wanted to kind of take some of the anxiety or understanding of that kind of like performance
yeah.
always performing aspect, but he wanted to make something that was about kids today, like
yeah
right,
because initially I thought, because the pitch was like young girl who makes YouTube videos living
videos.
Her life, and I was like yeah. oh, is she gonna like blow up on YouTube and then it's gonna be like basically Bo Burnham's story but on a like with a girl, and I was
with
like
girl,
that's gonna be
yeah.
kind of weird, but you know, I'll watch it, but I don't know, you know,
but it's really not
it's not at all.
It's really just about how awkward and terrible it is to be in eighth grade and
yeah and now too how different it is, and also like how mm-hmm. that what that means
yeah what that means, because obviously as we all know that kids grow up today with so much awareness of the internet and social media and are constantly like performing these versions of themselves on top of like all the other shit that you deal with when you're in eighth grade, which
yeah.
is like puberty and how awkward you are and how people are weird and how like that's when you start getting like start being aware of like yourself and who you want to be versus who you actually are, and like trying to like fuse those things together. And Bo did kind of this really interesting thing where he basically just cast actual eighth graders
yeah.
and actual high schoolers, because there's a couple of high school characters in the film.
I didn't know that like high schoolers were actually high schoolers.
Oh,
too.
The high schoolers are also high school. I mean,
okay.
they have some acting experience, but
right.
they're...
Yeah, so do, I mean, so does Elsie Fisher, right? The main character.
Yeah, Elsie
she...
Fisher, the main character, she is from... She's from the school that it was filmed in, but she has, like, some acting credits.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everybody else was, like, from
and you,
the actual
you can really
school
tell,
is
I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is like, it's not just like, oh, a bunch of like people that are a bunch of like, you know, young kids. It's more like, oh, you like the way they're talking and stuff is definitely like, oh, okay, they're young.
They are young.
Yeah.
And so he cast actual eighth graders, and it's funny because you can tell they're eighth graders because they don't do the thing with other high school movies or middle school movies where everybody looks 25.
Yeah.
They actually look.
They
the
just
age
look
they
young.
Are.
Yeah,
they look young. They're kids.
Yeah,
everybody in this movie is kids except for the couple of adults. And the script is written in such a way that it really it's very realistic dialogue. It is not adults talking through
yeah.
kids. It's kids talking like.
It's
kids.
Weird because this whole movie I'm like, this must be realistic and stuff, but obviously I'm not an eighth grader, you know, like we both aren't.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's hard for me to always say like, oh, it's realistic, but it really feels like it like in more ways than any other thing I've seen before that tries to do like young people like talking. It just sounds like the way like I hear people talk now that are younger, but also just like how you would assume. Like it just it seems to sort of like I don't know how, like, it's really good in that way. Like, the way it doesn't feel like it's trying to be that, it just is that in a way. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the example, like, when we were talking about it was, like, there's a lot of likes in the, like, the way they're talking. Like, I'm talking right now. Like,
ums and likes and airs,
like,
and
yeah, like, people mess up, like, she, like, at the beginning of the film, she's doing, like, an outro for her YouTube channel, and she messes it up. Like, and there's stuff like that where it's just, like, small little things, but they just make it feel as a whole that, like, they're actually having conversations as young kids, like, because they are, you know?
And from what I understood from interviews that I watched about the movie is that Bo kind of let the kids, I mean, all of those likes are in the script, but he also let the kids kind of, like, loosey-goosey sort of work through the lines as they wanted to and didn't, like,
overcorrect them. Yeah, it felt so natural because it felt like, yeah, somebody told them, like, just say it the way you think you would, you know?
Yeah. There's also the scene... the scene in the mall with the couple of high school kids was mostly improvised. Like, they just shot a conversation and just kind of let the camera roll and stuff like that, which was really interesting. But so the movie largely focuses on Kayla, who's the main character, played by Elsie Walker, and kind of
Elsie
goes
Fisher,
through,
isn't it? Is it Elsie Fisher? Yeah.
Elsie Fisher.
I think it could be Fisher. I don't know.
She
hopefully
we should always write these things down. We never do. And kind of follows her through her last, like, week of eighth grade.
Yeah.
And what that looks like and what happens. And it's definitely of the indie film type where it's not so much a plot and a narrative the way that
it's not like
a
three-act structure really, even though there is sort of a turning point in the middle-ish, but it's definitely like, here's her life.
Yeah, and it's an emotional, it's a mood piece, basically. Yeah. It sort of is conveying some thematic elements through the temporal motion of the character.
Like, I feel like the satisfying moments aren't necessarily like, oh, finally this big thing that we've been wanting is happening. It's more like these little moments of, like, you know, emotional, like, crux, like, points, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So in that way, it's not like super, super like any other, like, you know, three act structure film, but it definitely is. It's got its own things going on that are
fine. Would have felt that a narrative would have destroyed the
realism. I think it would have felt too, like, kind of artificial in a way, because
artificial,
it would have been, it would have made it to where it was like there was some weird build up to some I think the big point of the film is that there isn't, like, big resolutions to stuff because you just grow up and you get older and you learn things and you mess up, and I think
life
that's
isn't
sort of
like it,
yeah,
like that. You don't get closure on everything. You don't, things don't fix themselves neatly in 2 hours,
yeah,
you know.
And I think that's why, yeah, you're right, if they went into three-act structure, that would be bad. It would feel really weird for this film.
Mm-hmm. So it's Kayla and kind of these cast of characters of people around her, but she has, like, she's so isolated and so, like, awkward, and I think that's where Elsie does such an amazing job nailing the, like, dialogue and posture. Like, her posture throughout the film is so inwardly drawn. Like, she always walks with, like, her shoulders slumped down and she's sort of curled over, and she just, it's very clear that she doesn't, like, her arms always cross, or she's always fidgeting with her arms.
Yeah. Because she doesn't really know what to do. Like,
yeah, she's anxious all the time.
That scene where she talks to the other girl who she went to the birthday party for. Mm-hmm. And that scene where it was, like, very awkward, but it was awkward not just in the talking. It, like you said, it was in her posture. Because, like, the way she does, like, the weird hand thing, because she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just going to do something because I'm trying to, like, say thanks. You know, like, stuff like that is, like, scattered throughout the film, and that just makes it feel even more real. So,
You really get a feel, of what Kayla's life is like through some really sparing dialogue choices and a lot of, like, also editing choices, too. Like, you, with it being kind of, like, an observer type of, it's definitely in the third person. This movie doesn't have any internal monologuing. It's all just sort of straight what was shot in the camera. and it's just following her.
Because it does those scenes, too, where it's like she fails to do this thing in school, and then it cuts to her making a video about how to successfully do the thing that she just didn't previously do. Couldn't do. Yeah.
So it does a lot with... It does a lot with, like, showing, not telling. Yeah,
so it definitely disconnects you from her, like, in that way, I guess.
Yeah. It's... you don't always know what her interior thoughts are, but you get a very strong sense of what they are just from how she is acting and what she's saying versus what she's doing in a particular moment. And you... Like, there's just so many... small little moments where there's 100% no dialogue and it's all just facial expressions and body posture, and it's just communicated very eloquently of like,
yeah,
how awkward and terrible these, you know, the like dynamics of going up to a popular person. And there's also just an amazing soundtrack as well. The soundtrack is electronic, and Bo was talking about how he got a really amazing female composer who also does electronic music on the side, and she scored the whole film with like this like kind of cool jangly sort of electronic score.
The song that plays like the beginning ish when she's like walking to school is like really good, because it's like weirdly tense, which I like, because it's like it kind of like tells you like, oh, she is like here at school again and I don't really want to be here that bad, but like, and you know, I have to deal with like talking to people and I'm awkward. And so it's something about that was like really good.
Yeah.
Like you could immediately tell what the movie was going to sort of focus on.
It plays a lot with diegetic and non-diegetic sound. Like I really liked the scene where she's at dinner with her dad, who's like a single dad, and she's listening to music. Like, so they also they also shot all of the social media in camera. There's no fake screens. It's actually shot on a real phone.
Yeah, I thought could tell that. I'm surprised. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Those are all real social media accounts.
That makes sense.
Like,
yeah,
their production staff made 100 fake social media accounts for her to scroll through.
Yeah, because they just like showed like YouTube and stuff. So I was like, I don't think they care. Like,
oh yeah, no. Yeah. There's she is watching actual videos on YouTube. She is actually scrolling through Instagram. She's in Twitter and all that.
Yeah,
and.
Not Facebook. Nobody uses Facebook.
Nobody uses Facebook.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know why, because it's just like that. That to me is like, because my generation, or at least when I was growing up, definitely used Facebook. I don't either now, but it's like when she was like, everybody uses Instagram. It's like, oh yeah, that is like very true. It's just Instagram. Who cares about Facebook?
Yeah. So there's this scene where she's at the table and she's going through like Instagram or whatever, and she's listening to music. You hear the music. And then in the background, underneath it, you hear like somebody talking, and then the
which
camera
is so
pulls
relatable.
Out, and she's at the dinner table.
Yeah, and
table
she's there
because
you think she's just like in bed or somewhere, not at a dinner table with her dad.
And he's talking to her, and you hear his talking way underneath, mixed underneath.
Which
whatever
is totally,
she's doing.
You know, if you ride a bus, you know that, right? Like
exactly, like that's the story of my life.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're like, wait, like, is somebody talking to me? Oh God, what?
What? You know, take off the headphones. So there's so many little clever moments like
that. I
want to
point out also that she also had the awkward moment of like, okay, are you done? Can I put my earphone back in? Or are you going to start talking again? And that's so good.
She has a lot of like really awkward relationships with people, but I feel like the scenes with her dad were the ones that I got the most out of, because obviously I'm way closer in age to the dad now than like her. And I kind of felt for that guy a little bit. I don't have, like, it's basically intimated that her mom left at a very early age.
Yeah.
And so he's been raising her as a single
parent. I'm glad
they
don't super, super go into that, I guess, because
I
didn't want it to, like, pivot to that or something. They talk about it a little bit, but it seems like that is just the way they've been living. It's not...
This has been their life, so I have a feeling she probably left pretty early.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever. And it's not important to the story, because it doesn't feel like it is. And sometimes it's not to people.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
That's kind of how I felt. It was like, it's not really important to her, really. Like, maybe to the father, but it doesn't seem like something she thinks about.
Only in as much as that it's makes him worry about, am I going to be a good parent? That sort of thing. Like, they just pick a lot of like little scenes that just really illustrate a lot of bigger, they gesture at a lot of bigger things than what is immediately happening that in that scene, but they don't dwell on it because it kind of keeps the movie very light and very like sort of really just that you're just moving through her day-to-day life. Because guess what? Not everybody has these like hugely emotional conversations every single day of their life.
That's a good point. You know, yeah. Like sometimes you're just like, hey dad, I'm, you know, going to my room now. Like we're not going to have some, big moment.
Yeah.
And I actually, so another example of the dialogue being good in a way that feels sort of awkward or like weird, but like normal for a young person, that scene where like her dad, where she like has her, he's like telling her goodnight. And then she's like, oh, by the way, dad, life is really going well for me, so you don't have to worry about me. And it was just like such a random thing, but a thing that a kid would probably just say, like, oh, this will make my dad happy if I say like my life is just good, so don't worry. And it just sounded sort of like, to me, it sounded like weird. Like, because like, I don't know, nobody really announces that to people when you're an adult, right? Like, you don't just sit there and be like, hey, my life is really good. I mean, probably, I don't know. It's just, it was a weird like line, but it totally made sense. It was like, because you could tell her dad was just like, okay, all right, dang, that's good then, I guess. Like, I don't know, something about that. Like, somebody, I guess I would assume that type of line is something that an adult writing it would probably usually be like, oh, that sounds really weird. Why would I have that in my movie? Like, no, nobody says that, but it but young people do. Like, they say things that are sort of like random that don't really, like, you know, kind of like being like an adult, but not, you know?
Yeah. And that's a lot of what the movie feels like, especially with the integration of like social media. And that's kind of the big theme of the movie, is like, so much about this movie is about performance.
Yeah. Part of that performance, do you think part of that is the fact that when you're on social media so much, you see other people doing things like that?
Yes.
And then you want to be like, oh, I can approach situations like that, like I saw on that Instagram, you know, thing. Yeah. Like,
oh, well, that's definitely something that was talked about.
Yeah.
Like, interviews that I watch is just like, the idea that, like, I didn't have anything like that when I was a kid.
Yeah. I didn't really either. I had YouTube, but that's it.
I didn't have this, like, second layer of everything that I was doing being something that I had to serve up for other people at a moment's notice. And it's weird because it's definitely part of my life now as an adult. But I didn't grow up with that, so it's still kind of a foreign concept to me, because I remember when it didn't exist. I remember when social media did not exist at all in any form. And I think that, like, growing up with that, you have these kids that don't know any other way, and they, you know, like, they don't realize that, like, they don't have to do that, or that's
I think that's the thing, is like, they don't realize that they don't have to constantly engage with sharing everything and be in emulating sort of what you see to be cool. But maybe the social pressures like make you feel that way constantly. I don't know. I mean, we're both not eighth graders, I guess.
Yeah, we're, you know, like, I don't know.
Because I don't have that. Like, but I just wonder if in school you're like, well, if I don't have an Instagram account, I'm lame. Like, why would, and like,
or I don't have a social life
even, yeah.
You know, like, so it's like, you know, definitely a different cultural touchstone for sure. But it's interesting because so much of the movie is about the kids performing some sort of like personality, or, you know, like, you definitely see that with Kayla, where she's making these YouTube videos, like you said, where she'll give out like advice, which is so funny because it's clearly not advice that she is taking herself or knows how to do.
It's always like herself. How to talk to people, how to be confident, and then she is not those things. Like,
no, absolutely not.
That part was funny because that is something that I saw videos of when I was like younger that I watched. Like, I didn't watch a ton of those videos, but I saw those videos on YouTube of like how to be confident, like how to talk to your friends, or how to like hang out this way or whatever. And I always wondered if like those people did that. And it's kind of funny to see like this depiction of like this person giving the advice doesn't actually do it. But something about the way they show that, it feels like, kind of like you're saying, the performative part, I feel like, ties into that, because she wants to do that, And I feel like there's a level where she's saying it and making it a video to try to help herself too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but what I think the thing that we mostly, cause I mean, obviously we like this movie. I think the thing that I came away initially, cause I watched it before you, and I asked this before you watched it. So I wonder if you maybe got more out of it because you watched it with this question in mind, but I had wondered, like, you know, Bo is a guy and Elsie Fisher, Kayla is not. I was just wondering, like, what would this film have been like if it was a woman writing it? Because it seems like it's so specific. Because there's the scene where it's very specific to a young girl's life and not a guy. So it's just like, I don't know. I just wonder how different it would be. Because it seems like there's definitely some parts that would be fairly different. And I don't know if you agree, but I don't know if it would be better or anything. I just think that there's definitely, it's interesting to think of that other version, the made up version, because it is, I don't know, it seems like there's some things that could be different that maybe would be, I don't know, a little bit more real.
Well, I mean, it would be.
Yeah.
It's a wholly different perspective.
Yeah.
Like, it would be different. And I mean,
not that this movie felt like, I didn't constantly think the whole time through, like, wow, this doesn't seem real because also I'm a guy. But like, I just wonder because he did choose a young girl instead of a young boy.
He did that for a reason. He mentioned in an, because I watched a lot of interviews this week because that's what I do when I get really into something, is I watch of like behind the scenes interviews. He said that he chose a girl character so he wouldn't be able to project his own childhood experiences, right, of, you know, coming up through YouTube onto the character. So
that makes sense. I like that idea, or that, like, that choice. I probably would want to do the same thing.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of ways the story works better with a girl in terms of, like, just that more access to that vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, not that boys at that age aren't vulnerable, but a lot of them are just so mired in, like, being doofuses, I guess, that
a little bit on the other side, yeah, of this movie too. But yeah, I think that I agree. I think it's like, it would be a little bit harder to get there for the film. I mean, you know, obviously, yeah, it could be real for some person out there, but
yeah, there's a lot of guys' stories that I think could really work with this.
Yeah.
But as far as,
because I don't, we've been not very spoilery, and I don't think I want to spoil really too much, I guess, right?
I want to spoil because I want to talk about that one scene.
Oh, you do want to talk about that scene? Okay,
yeah, I do want to talk about. So if you really don't want spoilers,
it's a kind of hard film to honestly spoil. Like we said, it's not like a three-act structure. There's not some big reveal or anything.
There's not a twist, but if you want to go,
there is sort
of
a turning point, and it's a very important scene. So,
but it's not going to ruin it if you know about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because you told me about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll get to that. So if you do want to not be spoiled to, like,
it's,
you know,
available. The movie is available streaming too. So, like,
it's,
you can go
streaming,
watch it.
So you just, yeah, stop the podcast, go watch it on Amazon or YouTube for, you know, $4.99. I think this movie would have been different if a woman had been directing and writing it.
Yeah.
For sure. Because that level of experience with that subject matter and the differences of being an eighth grade girl versus, there's definitely some things that didn't get touched on that I think maybe would have.
Right. Been. And the other thing was, like, the stereotypical thing of, like, going for the dorky boy at the end or the nerdy kid. Like, to me, that felt a little bit like a guy was writing it. I don't know. Like, oh yeah, she would obviously go for the good guy.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, even though I know we'll get to that because that scene has its own thing. But, like, I just, some of that to me felt like, oh, well, okay. Like, that felt a little like, oh, you've just seen other things. I don't know.
That was so minor in terms of, like, everything about this movie that I could have criticized about is so minor.
Yeah,
like, he did a really good job.
Yeah.
He did a really good job, but it would have been interesting to see a woman write and direct this. The thing is that I don't think many women would get the opportunity to write and direct a movie at 27 years old. It just doesn't happen for women who are, like,
cool
veterans.
Yeah.
It would have been cool. But I know that the reason that this didn't happen with a woman is because women don't get those kinds of opportunities as men yeah. do. And I think, you know, I think Bo did a good job of trying to do the things that he did and doing this movie, because now there's a movie out there that kind of like speaks to a lot of those experiences. But like you said, I think it doesn't touch on some things as deeply as it could have. It doesn't have that level of experience that could have been brought to it if it was a woman writer and yeah. director.
But you made a good point when we were talking about it, that like it doesn't go as deep on those things, but you thought that, and or maybe he said it in an interview, but you said something like, well, it probably doesn't go deep because he knew he couldn't
as he knew a guy.
And I like, I think, yeah, I like that, because I think it doesn't, I would like to read it that way, that like he was like, oh yeah, I can't explore that because that is just not my experience at all, but I can say that it exists.
He mentioned, like, I watched, yeah. I'll try and dig up a couple of the interviews that I watched, because I think they kind of give some insight into maybe some of the places that I would have felt like he didn't do the best job.
Yeah.
But the fact that he, like, centered a girl character into the movie and made her, like, the star of the movie and really kind of tried to really kind of get behind that kind of experience of, like, how the things that basically weren't there were the things that I would have expected a woman to be able to handle.
Yeah.
You know, just the, like, sexism that kind of just starts creeping into your life, the like way that girls treat each other at that age and boys treat girls, and there's definitely some moments of that in the film for yeah. sure, and how it's different now than it was when I was a kid, because you couldn't trade nudes in eighth grade.
Yeah, I never
now
you that.
Can
yeah
And that pops up, but it kind of goes a little bit without commentary. And that's the part that I think that a woman writer and director may have brought to the
yeah.
to the table. But on the other hand, it was so real in so many ways that the fact that it didn't get a lot of commentary.
Right, it felt sort of real in its own way, because it's like, well, yeah. it wouldn't then, because nobody cares really.
But it didn't linger in quite the same way that I would have liked yeah. it to have. Because it's hard. It's a hard balance to strike. And I think this is maybe where we should probably talk about the one scene in the movie that comes kind of dead in the middle of it and is maybe the most serious part of the film, I think.
Yeah. It's like shocking. Maybe not shockingly, but it's definitely like very intensely serious compared to everything else. Like,
yeah.
Because it just, yeah. it really lingers, like you said, like. It just sits there and makes you just actually like just experience every second of it. And it's just, it's, yeah, it's a scene.
Yeah. So to kind of set this up, I mean, for the most part, the movie is pretty absent of sexism and a lot of like gendering of some things, with the exception of the couple of times that Kayla interacts with guys, which is very rare because she really doesn't.
Yeah.
Because she has a crush on a boy. And there's one scene in the sort of like first part of the movie where it's during maybe kind of the other only part that has like some social commentary to it, where the kids are doing a shooter drill.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that scene. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing a shooter drill, and during the shooter drill where, like, all these kids have to, like, sit under their desk in the dark, and I've never done this in my life before because there weren't...
Was that really a shooter drill, or is that, like, an earthquake?
That was always an earthquake.
It was, like, go under your desk for an earthquake.
But no, you lock the door, turn the lights off, and get
Yeah, I guess
desk,
the lights were off, too. That's usually the shooter yeah. thing, you're right.
And then so she has a guy that she has a crush on, and she overhears... She overhears during the shooter drill that from another girl that the guy she has a crush on like broke up with his girlfriend because she wouldn't send him nudes. And immediately after this, when they're in the classroom hiding at her desk, she like crawls over to him and is trying to talk to him. And he's this dumbass, you know, yeah. eighth grade guy.
Yeah.
He's obviously a cute eighth grade guy in her eyes, but he's a, you know, little... gross podling to
yeah.
me, you know, like
he's very, you know, like
shithead,
yeah.
And she tries
I think
to
the movie
to
knows that too, or maybe yeah, not. I don't dude, know I feel like the movie understands like this dude is not like he is
he's a fucking asshole. Yeah. Like he's just this dumb dipshit hormone sack, like, you know, yeah. like whatever. And she goes over to him and tries to talk to him, and it's clearly not working. And then she says, she does this, like, very kind of, like, clever in a sense of the word thing, where she was like, oh no, I did something so embarrassing. And you see this whole, like, different kind of performance kind of come over her, where she's like, oh my god, I did this, is so embarrassing. I opened up all of my nudes. And you're like, she does not have any fucking nudes on her phone.
And you can tell, like, it was awkward for her. Like, she was like, I have to come up with something for him to pay attention to me.
And she picks the one thing yeah. that he would pay attention yeah. to. And it's immediate that he starts paying attention to her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, this is, yeah, this is, you know. And so even from that tiny little moment, you start to kind of get this sense of, like, she is already starting to kind of understand how guys react
yeah.
to her, or to girls in general. But it isn't until the middle of the movie that you realize that she has no idea
what that means. Yeah.
She doesn't know what
it means. She doesn't make the conclusion of, like, oh, he reacts this way because guys are
shitheads. Yeah. No, she still thinks it's, like, something she should do
yeah.
to get their attention, because guys is,
guys, then he'll open up and be good, and, you know.
Yeah. you very much get the sense that, like, a lot of these girls still, they know enough that guys paying attention to them is a good thing, and they don't kind of really realize the ramifications of what that means.
Yeah, it's good. That's really, I like that you pointed out that scene in comparison to the car scene that we're going to talk about, because that, yeah, I feel like that is really, those are really, like, opposites, or, like, not opposites, but they're, like, not opposites at all, but, like, more like a conclusion to, like, yeah, like, a big the reveal, not a big reveal, but just, like, a reveal of, like, yeah, what Kayla does not understand. And but yeah. it makes sense from that, like, I don't, basically I'm saying is that car scene probably wouldn't have worked without that first
scene. It really
scene,
wouldn't.
Because it really makes, kind of set yeah, it up. Yeah, it really sets it up. I never really made that connection, but
guys
that makes sense.
Guys can be shitty to you in eighth grade, and guys were shitty to me in eighth grade.
Yeah.
I had a boyfriend, in a sense, where we, like, held hands and, you know,
yeah.
held hands and wrote each other notes, and he dumped me because he started dating my friend who, quote unquote, put out. Keep in mind, this is eighth grade.
Yeah.
This is eighth fucking grade, and he dumped me for another girl who would actually do more than hand-holding. And it very viscerally reminded me of that in some ways,
yeah.
of, like, guys are shitheads at that age, but they haven't quite acquired the level of, like, duplicitousness. Like, he told me straight up to my face.
Right, he just said,
that
like, hey,
why,
this is
yeah.
why I'm picking the better one or something. Like,
where, versus, like, as men start to get older, they start to build in these justifications of why what they're doing is okay.
Right,
and that they're
justified in doing
it. That's
exactly what that scene later is.
Yes.
It's that justification.
Yeah, so to build up to kind of what we're talking about, Kayla gets to shadow a high school girl.
Yeah.
In anticipation of her entering high school in the next couple of months. And she shadows this girl named Olivia, who is really nice and sweet. And Olivia invites her to come hang out with her friends at the mall. And it's two guys, and Olivia and her other friend, Ania, I think.
Yeah, I don't really remember, to be honest.
Yeah. And they're all talking, and she's, you know, sitting, and she's chatting a little bit with, like, one of the guys.
Yeah,
and
they're in,
like
the mall food court, right?
Yeah, yeah. And,
which, weirdly, that was a thing that I remember, of, like, people hanging out in the food courts.
Yeah, same.
Which is weird, because my mall was, like, an hour away from where I grew up. Like, we had no mall nearby. So
we didn't have a big, yeah, the Galleria malls were like kind of far away. So I didn't get to hang out in the food court with like friends.
Yeah. Unless I never it was like a special friends. Trip. Yeah. We went to a special trip and occasionally I would see people there.
Yeah. Like, or if we wanted to go to like the big movie theater.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. That's exactly what we did. Yeah.
So that was the only part that felt a little bit outdated to me, basically. Yeah. But, like, they're hanging out in the mall food court, and she's talking to, like, one of the guy friends and, you know, like, just joking around or whatever. And they go to leave, and the guy, because Kayla has kind of run into her dad spying at her on the mall, he offers her to give a ride home. She's like, no, I'll get a ride. Whatever. So yeah, she gets a ride home. Yeah, she's mad at him. So she gets a ride home with this guy friend. And so it's her, the guy friend, and Olivia in the car.
And to that point, that guy, there was nothing really...
He just seems doofy.
Yeah, like, he just seems quiet and she said something to him once, and he was just like, it was just whatever. Like,
he just sort of didn't... Yeah. You know, like, didn't pay attention to
she's
her.
She's
just
older
much.
Guy that she isn't really interested in because she's interested in the girl, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, becoming and friends. Yeah.
I think their ages are like their juniors or seniors.
I think so. I think they might have said, but I don't remember. Yeah.
They're a lot older than her. They're like 4 or 5 years.
They said 4 years, I think, is what they're like. Yeah, she's four years younger.
So four years. So, yeah. If Kayla's like 13 or 14, they're like 17 or 18. And. They get in the car, and Olivia's like, well, we should go drop Kayla off. It's getting kind of late. And the guy is like, well, you're right here. I'll just drop you off and then get drive Kayla home. Yeah. And that's the moment that I knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah, that was the moment where I guess I didn't know something bad was going to happen, but I was like, wait, that's notable. Like, wait, hold on. You're just, okay. I feel like something is happening here.
Something bad is happening. Yeah. And Kayla's like, no, Olivia, it's fine. It's cool. And I'm just like, oh, you little lamb, you just don't have any idea what's happening. And you had forewarned me about this scene, thankfully. And I would just say if you are somebody who's sensitive to any, like, there's nothing physical that happens. Yeah. It's all like dialogue for the most part. But it's still really intense, I would say. It's really intense, especially if you have like issues with like, things that are vaguely sort of predatory.
Yeah.
So they're talking in the car. He's driving. He's like, oh, it's really hard to hear you from up here in the front seat.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ugh. When he said that, that was my like, oh, no.
So I thought she was going to go up to the front of the
car. I thought she was too, but she didn't. When he stopped the car, it was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Like when somebody goes into a haunted house.
Yeah, that
like,
was exactly it. I was like,
there.
Oh my
get
gosh,
out.
This
just,
is...
Just get out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car, Kayla. Get out. And so he gets into the back and they start to like talk and he's like, do you want to play truth or dare? And this is where it starts to get really unfucking uncomfortable. And she was like, okay. And for the most part, you really get the sense that she really... doesn't know what's happening.
No,
but it's so awkward and
because
she just wants
to be liked by like older people or people, right? So she's just
people
like
in general.
Yeah, I guess
so she like answers truth. Yeah. And then it turns into he basically cajoles her into like asking him dare, and then she's like, oh, I don't know, like what would you want as a dare? And he's basically like guiding her through
right
whatever.
Yeah, he totally has
his
a goal
intention
here.
Is
yeah
he has a goal here. And he takes off his shirt and he was like, hey, why don't you take off your shirt? And she was like, no. Which I was like,
yeah, I know. I was like, okay, good.
Okay, good. You know? And he was like,
because I mean, both of us knew. I guess I didn't tell you it wasn't physical. So I guess, but we both seemed to not know that it wasn't going to be that. Right. So when she didn't take her shirt off, I was just like, oh, okay, maybe this is not going to be as horrible. But. Yeah.
It still is horrible because he was like, why don't you take your shirt off? And she's like, no. Like, she gets, like, louder.
Yeah.
And he kind of finally figures out, but he's obviously mad. And he gets, you know, gets out of the car and, you know, goes back up to the front. And he's driving. And I think she sort of...
She starts saying sorry. Yeah. And he gets madder for that.
He's like, God, stop saying sorry. Stop saying sorry. And they're, you know, quiet. And then he kind of flips off this line that you really kind of get a sense of where his head was this entire time, which is like, you know, you're just going to like go off and make out with some fucking asshole at a party. And I was going to make your first time like really special because you don't even know anything yet and blah, 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 blah. And you, so you basically hear him telling on himself. You basically hear.
Yeah.
A 17 or 18 year old guy justifying to himself why he thought it was okay to basically emotionally and, you know, very potentially physically coerce a fucking child.
Right. And when he says that, like, they don't super go into it, but do you think like she would take that as like, oh, maybe I should have, or like, I am really bad. Like I didn't, like I should have done that. Or
the
like,
intention is to make her feel bad.
Yeah. Do you think she because does? That- Because I guess I'm not sure if she does.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is it's very kind of ambiguous. And the fact that she keeps saying sorry means that on some level she knows she disappointed him. Because that's kind of how you feel when, yeah, like, you don't really understand what sex or sexuality is. And earlier in the movie, we saw her, like, practicing kissing on her own hand.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Do you really think she really understands the gravity of what this guy probably wanted out of her?
Yeah.
And she just knows that she disappointed this guy. You know, she just knows that she disappointed him. And, but she, I think on some level, she also knows that something fucked up happened.
Yeah.
And she, because she goes home and then there's a completely, like, wordless scene that just has music playing, yeah, over top of it, where she like runs into the house and her dad is like yelling and like asking her what's wrong.
Yeah,
and it just kind, yeah, of the sound cuts out with just the music, and she's very clearly like curled up in her room like crying, and her dad comes in and like
her stuff was like knocked over too, like the light was knocked over.
Yeah, yeah, it's very clear that she went upstairs and like threw stuff around.
Yeah,
so she's probably confused, angry, scared.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, do you think a part of it is like, crap, I screwed up my, like, I made this guy mad, and he's best friends with my girl.
Because she also tells him not to tell Olivia.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part, yeah.
Because she thinks that it's going to make her seem not cool to Olivia.
Yeah, because she really wants to be cool with, like, the older kids, so.
So you really understand that this, she thinks that this is, that maybe if she had just done something with this guy, she would be cool. And I'm just like, oh my God, you tiny baby, you tiny precious angel. You don't understand that, like, if you had told Olivia, Olivia probably would have taken that guy by the fucking ear, yeah, and, like, kicked him out on the curb. And that's the insidious. And here's the thing, is that here's where Bo's directing and writing maybe didn't go deep enough.
Yeah, this is where it sort of bugged me a little bit, but yeah.
But he understood enough about, he did a lot with a little dialogue.
Yeah.
I think. Because you do get the sense that he understands the specter of what could have happened.
Right.
Around that scene. And I'm glad that it didn't go farther than that. And I'm glad it was just dialogue for the most part.
Yeah. And even because that scene existed too, because I feel like there's also a movie where that you could just hint at it, but not actually have a scene in a car where they're talking like that. Like,
yeah, because it definitely gestures at a lot of, it says a lot of things without saying a lot of things. It basically says a lot of things, but it doesn't go as deep as it could have been to kind of like excoriate that guy.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who don't recognize that that guy is a shithead.
Yeah.
But I also don't know how the format would have made that work.
Yeah,
I think
that's a good point that you were saying, is like, it maybe wouldn't really work in this film if they did, because it's not really about that. But I think if, yeah, it wasn't Bo, it might be about that a little bit more.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or maybe there would have been a decision to like have it come up in some other scene. But the thing is the fact that it isn't all about that and she just sort of moves on from that. That's the only part that kind of bugged me a little bit, is because stuff like that, on the one hand, becomes part of the fabric of your life.
Right.
Because so many men
do that to
you. It's normalized,
but it's, you know, it's still a thing.
Still there.
It's still there, yeah. And that's sort of what bugged me. It was just like, because they don't ever mention it again, I don't think.
No, they don't.
Even like don't. Even without even words, they don't even mention it. Like it just feels sort of like it's just gone from the film after that. I mean, you feel it as a viewer, I think. Like, you're always looking for it, I feel like, but it never, you never get anything out of that.
Yeah. And in the sense that the film is sort of like just a slice of her life, I can understand. And it does a good job of, like, underscoring how much Kayla doesn't understand about the world.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's like, it's hard. When that sort of stuff happens to you, it, you know, I don't know, it's difficult.
Yeah. I don't think.
Get up the next day.
And like we said, but... like, I think it's not, I don't know. It's like, I like the movie a lot, like, obviously, and it's not like I have a huge, it's not like huge complaint, I guess, because again, I don't know, like you said, it maybe wasn't really the point of this one, but it, yeah, it's sort of, it's the biggest thing in, like, relative to what I'm left with, because it just seems, it seems like a weird moment.
It didn't feel exploitative though, which was nice.
Yeah.
Like, I actually felt like the scene getting any more graphic probably would have been a huge disservice to both the film but also the actors.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of directors, when they make a choice to have a like sexual assault scene in a movie, it's often very disrespectful to the actresses that have to do that, because it's very gratuitous and very traumatic. And even if it's just acting, you still have to pretend that it's real. And that's, you know, I wouldn't want to subject that kind of darkness to a movie that's roughly just
in some way, it almost feels like you're trying to make it like an extreme version when you wouldn't have to actually go that far to get the same point across.
He did what he did to get the same point across with a much lower level of danger involved, which I commend him for. I think that was the smart choice for his film.
It also just works really well because it feels a little bit more subversive. It feels like, well, nothing happened, but a lot happened.
A lot happened.
And you're like, I think there are people maybe that would watch this film and be like, well, nothing really happened, but I'm thinking about it this entire time after it happened. And it was such a moment that it stuck with me. And I think that effect is really good. And that's what it does. So that's why I kind of wanted more out of it. But yeah.
Or how a lot of people don't think something is serious or real because the extreme version didn't happen to them, and they have a very hard time empathizing with the extreme version. But everybody knows a guy like that.
Yeah.
Everybody knows a guy like that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it works. It just would have been interesting or different to see it from the perspective of like a woman director or writer. Like, I don't know. I think that's the only thing I can level a criticism like that.
Yeah, and it's not even like I hated it because of that or anything. It was just sort of like something that really made me think. I was just like, I wonder, like, I just wonder if that would be very different.
Yeah.
Because overall, I had no idea that was going to happen. Like, I didn't read anything about this movie at all other than, like, the one trailer. So, and I did that on purpose a little bit because I just sort of wanted to see what it was. So, that was
I'm glad you told me about it, but as soon as that scene started to happen, I already knew it was going to happen.
Because
that's how well written it was, is you could already see the kind of the gears turning, I guess. Or I've had enough experiences like that as a woman.
Yeah.
To know where that was going. It was the same feeling you have, like, walking into a haunted house or watching a horror film and you know where the killer is.
Yeah,
you're screaming as an audience member, Kayla, get out of the car, get out of the car, baby, you don't want to be here right now, like, you know, and realizing that you can't do anything, and she's gonna be a kid who has that sitting on her shoulders now, and how depressing that is because of how mundane it is. That's the thing that I think stayed with me after the movie, is how mundane that is, how mundane and normal that is, that justification and that logic and that shitty slimy behavior is so, it's not evil because it's worse than that. It's normal. It's commonplace. It's not malice. It's just, well, I mean, in some ways it is. It's just like how much disrespect and lack of concern that these guys have for women's autonomy and bodies and, like, the innocence of this Kayla character. And that's the real you know, heart-wrenching part of is how normal and mundane this sort of stuff is in the movie. So, but I mean, overall, both of us really liked it.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think when we first talked, maybe, I don't know if you thought I didn't like it. I was just, that was like, kind of like what we just did. I was like, that was the one thing I was just sort of thinking about because I already liked the rest of it. And I just wanted to think out loud about that because it just, I don't know, it really, that scene just really stuck with me throughout the rest. Because like I said, it was the thing I was just thinking about for the rest of the film. And I was just, oh, for sure. Yeah, so.
It's got a really kind of optimistic ending. And yeah. I feel like you know that Kayla's going to kind of turn out to be all right, and that's really good. And I really liked it. I didn't, you know, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't have devoured so many behind the scenes and interviews and stuff like that if I didn't like this movie. And I really thought it was really good and not kind of mawkish and awkward in a way that, like, an adult trying to make kids talk like adults would have probably been. So I kind of think that, really kind of commend Bo Burnham for managing to, like, really empathize with the kids and, like, really do a good job directing them to be kind of themselves and to kind of really think about his artistic output in that sense. He's obviously a very articulate, smart person who had a good idea and made it happen, which is, you know, I feel like we're so much the better as from having watched this film, I guess. So
yeah,
that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. It was really, it was very good, but yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that kind of about does it for our expert takedown or not takedown, but our expert, conversation about Eighth Grade.
It's really worth watching this year. Like, I don't know. It's weird because it has a lot of really good reviews on like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff, but I still feel like I haven't really seen a lot of people talk about it. Which, I mean, I guess it is a smaller film, but I'm just surprised because sometimes on my like Twitter feed, I see people talking about something smaller, but I've seen like no mentions of Eighth Grade really. So,
yeah.
So, but it seems like people do like it a lot too. So,
yeah. So Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I am on Twitter at Tyler Culp, TylerCulp. I'm also on my YouTube is youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. I write for Blizzard Watch. I also stream for them with you. It's on twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch.
You can find me at Apple Cider Witch on Twitter as well as Apple Cider Witch on Twitch. And I also do stream at Blizzard Watch with Tyler as well. If you like the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes. You can also send all of your questions and comments to our email at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. We will read them on the show. Also, if you like the show, tell your friends, tell your family. Word of mouth is the best way to get the show out there. You can also talk to us on Twitter. Our Twitter for the show is MISFcast at Twitter.
Yeah, just don't make it mad. It'll there. Block you. I know from experience.
I only did that once. Mm-hmm. Also, our intro and outro music is done by the very wonderful Maddie Myers, and you can find everything that she does at maddiemyers.net, also Maddie Myers on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.